Yasvakat prato veha jatan yurvedat mavan. Priti krita harim gehat. Pravrijyet sa narottamaha. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Purport. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, one, the dhīra, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home, depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Tatati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shanagaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Bancha Kolpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yasvakat Parata Veha Jata Nirveda Atmavan Shri Kritva Harim Gehat Pravrijetsa Narottama. Well, this answers both your question and mine. How to live successfully in householder life, and also how to get out of householder life. Both things are there. How to live in householder life, Prabhupada gives the emphasis on devotional activities. Hearing, chanting about the name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna, engaging in service to Krishna. Prabhupada said about his own father that by profession he was a cloth merchant, but his actual business was bhajan. The business was just for keeping establishment together, but he didn't care so much about business. His real business was Krishna bhajan, how to serve Krishna. Now that's the real business of life. The people in general are bewildered. What is that? Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hituchcham. They're just getting very paltry happiness from family life, and actually getting so much trouble. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. They're never satisfied. They get more money, they get more things, they get a promotion, they get a new car, they go to social occasions, they go to the movies, they do this, they do that. Whatever it is that they're doing for family happiness, they get together with their friends, they get together with their relatives. But tripyanti neha, they're never satisfied. They're never, heart is never content. Because the heart will not be content by any material relationship, any material activities. So, tripyanti neha, kripana. Therefore, they're described as kripana. Those who are using their whole life simply for their own material satisfaction. Or who are not spending the valuable assets of their human life for the purpose of human life. They're not using what they've been given. Simply trying to satisfy the senses. Kripana means small-minded. Miserly doesn't just mean holding on to money. But it means the opposite of brahmana. The person who quits this human form of life without having pursued self-realization, he's a kripana. Karpanya dosho bhata shabhava. Krishna told, Arjuna told Krishna, I've overcome by karpanya dosho, by a miserly mentality. He didn't mean that he was just being a skinflint or being stingy with money. But it meant that he was thinking about the body and the relationship with the body. This is my cousin, this is my brother, this is my this is my that. All in relationship to the material existence. Well, that's karpanya dosha. That's karpanya dosha. So, tripyanti neha kripana. In that mentality, One tries for happiness, but just multiplies his miseries. Bahudukha Paja. One gets into debt, one gets into legal complications, one gets into heavy competition in the workplace, one gets into so many things. One gets into trouble and more trouble. Material life means trouble and more trouble. We won't paint pictures, everyone knows it. So here, therefore the Vedic system is how to free one from this karpanya dosha, from this material entanglement, which is very strong, discussing yesterday, that we know all of these things, and still Maya is so persistent that although we know, although we hear, still we maintain our material attachments, still we go on as if material life was everything. Janiya Shunya Vishakoyana. The Narottam Das Thakur says, I've heard that it's poison, I know that it's poison, and still I'm drinking it. This is the situation that Janiya Shunya Vishakoyana. We know, we've heard, and still we're trying to still we're going on with this material attachment and material desire and material illusion that still somehow something is there. Even we know it's illusion, but we can't give it up. That's sometimes there. That we've heard, we know, but still the attachment is so strong that we think, well, anyway, it's not. It's Maya's business. Janiya Shunya Vishakoyana. So the business of the sadhus is to rescue us from this material entanglement through devotional service. Simply renunciation doesn't make anyone happy. Sannyasas tu mahabaho dukkham aptum yogataha. For the person who's not Krishna consciousness, not in Krishna consciousness, just sannyas results in more misery. He makes a show of renunciation, but can't maintain it. He's living as a sannyasi and he's still got girlfriend on the side, or wishing that he had his girlfriend on the side. Dukkham aptum yogataha. Because the heart is not purified. He's frustrated in material life, so he takes sannyas, but he's not connected with Krishna, so he's frustrated in spiritual life also. So neither way is he happy. Though better, dhira, dhiras tatra namuyati, to be sober-minded. But the advanced stage of dhira is to be engaged in devotional service. Therefore, the whole Vedic system is to train one in devotional service. Vairagya vidya nijabhakti yoga, from early childhood. We were talking about education yesterday, and we didn't go far enough. Actually, their education is totally misdirected. India especially, you know, from the youngest age, they're already taking classes to become competitive in their academic studies. But that's not education. That's just advanced entanglement. That's the fast track for material entanglement. The real thing is dharman bhagavatani, that the child should be trained from an early age how to control the mind, how to control the senses, how to dedicate himself for the service of the spiritual master in Krishna, how to be self-controlled, how to become a person of character and become attached to Krishna. That's the real training, brahmacharya training. That's education. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam, Krishna says, of all kinds of education, I'm spiritual education. So the real educational system is the system that's aimed at starting from childhood, because in childhood one is very receptive to whatever he's exposed to. The character can be molded. So the child should be trained in such a way that he becomes attached to Krishna, he becomes detached from material happiness, he's happy with austerity, he's happy with spiritual satisfaction, so that he can become successful in the project of human life. The mundane education teaches you how to become successful in the business of getting a job and becoming an employee, which means shudra. Or maybe to become successful in your own, getting your own business. But materially successful, from the youngest age, how to become a kripana of the first class. You don't want to be a third class kripana, you want to be a first class kripana, first class miser. So they're trained from an early age how to focus. If you want to get ahead, you have to focus. If you want to get ahead, you have to work hard. If you want to work ahead, you have to be a donkey of the first class. You can't be a third class donkey. You have to be a first class donkey, not just a mudha, vimudha, certified. You have to get a certificate that this man is trained as a donkey and he's a qualified donkey, and you can hire this donkey with confidence. That kind of education. He can't control his mind, he can't control his senses, he doesn't know the purpose of life, he's not attached to spiritual happiness, he has no knowledge, simply he knows some material trade. That means he's trained how to spoil his life from the very beginning. So the brahmachari training was there so that they would be trained in spiritual understanding, and along with that, whatever material skills would be required. If he's a king's son, then he has to learn statecraft. If he's the brahminical boy, then he should learn brahminical activities. Whatever. But that's not the whole of life. That's just the practical. How to stay afloat. Now they've made it so complicated that no one's staying afloat. They have an artificial way of life in which you have to learn some useless thing. How to manufacture something useless and convince people to buy your useless commodities. How to overcomplicate life by becoming farther and farther away from Krishna and Krishna's natural arrangement of things. So the Vedic life is not to overcomplicate things, simplify one's life as far as possible so that one can concentrate on the real business. Then if he stays as brahmachari, that's very nice. Otherwise he gets married, and because he's been trained as brahmachari, he has the proper direction, how to be a self-controlled householder, how to be spiritually directed in his grihastha ashram. That's called ashram. It's also for spiritual advancement. Grihastha ashram. Not a hole for sense enjoyment like the bear's cave or the bird's nest. But a place, ashram, place for spiritual activity, where Krishna is glorified and everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna. Then householder life is as good as possible. It will never be completely good, because there are so many troubles associated with householder life, so many material difficulties that will naturally come in any situation, but especially in householder life, it's multiplied. So by keeping his life simple and keeping his life connected with Krishna, he makes it as good as possible, so that his real business is bhajan. Maybe he's in this business or that bad business, he has, the family is there, family duties are there, but the real business is everyone's business, how to serve Krishna. And he's not under the illusion that this is my whole life, that I'll just remain in my happy home till the end. As I attended one Bhagavatam class, the speaker said, you know, so that in your old age, your wife is feeding you soup with putting the spoon in your mouth, and that's your situation. Srila Prabhupada said, that's the worst kind of degradation, to die in that circumstance. Rather, as Vidura is urging Dhritarashtra, at the timely stage, one should get out. Dhritarashtra already is over time. But the Pandavas themselves, the chapter is called, the Pandavas retired timely. They didn't wait till they couldn't possibly go on until everything fell apart. Timely, they saw that, all right, now Krishna's gone and the heir is there. Brikshit Maharaj is there to take charge of things. So let us go. Voluntarily, they went to the Himalayas, giving up. Yudhisthira Maharaj was the king, the other brothers were all in the royal family. Now the queen has just had her what jubilee? How many years has she been there in England? So many years.
65 years.
So many years. Of course, she's a figurehead only. But everyone is congratulating her. So many years you've been there. And it's understood that you'll stay there till you die. And you'll be under the illusion that you're the Queen of England. And these are all my subjects. But Pandavas, they saw that, all right, we've done our part, now we should go. Prabhupada said, in the modern setup, no one wants to go. And anyone gets a political post, he sticks in it till the fag end. Or people get in a job and they're just holding on. They're worried that some young guy is going to take over my position. I've been here for 45 years. And he's not thinking that. I've been here long enough. Let me get out. That he's not thinking. Or if they're thinking, they're looking forward to their retirement so that they can spend their life on the golf course and remain in material illusion till the end. That's called retirement. They retire from their job, but they never retire from material, the project of material happiness. But the person who's properly trained and who spent his family life mainly for devotional activities, or the focus on devotional activities, and that's the purpose of the whole enterprise. Well, that person can see that, all right, now my sons are grown, my duties are completed as far as possible. Our duties may never be completed. People are waiting, no, my third daughter still, I have to see to her marriage, and my this and my that, and what about my grandson, and there's nothing is ever finished. But the Vedic system is panchashrodham panam brajet. When the mature time comes, 50 years, then one should get out. It may be finished, it may not be finished. As far as possible, we've completed everything, and now one should get out. That means handing things over to the next generation, let them take the responsibility. That's good. The world moves on. Things go from generation to generation. And it's not that the old generation is supposed to stick in and hold on to everything. Even Bob Dylan would say, you know, get out. Don't try to manage the younger generation. Of course, he had his materialistic point of view. He wasn't exactly advocating spiritual life or Krishna consciousness, but expressing frustration that these old people are just standing in the way of the next generation. Of course, the old generation are fools, and the young generation are not trained in Krishna consciousness. They're also fools. But in spiritual life, the older generation should have been trained from the beginning of life in spiritual understanding. So that they see that now I've come to the mature stage, I should get out, hand things over to the next guys, and turn my face toward going back home, back to Godhead. In, say, the beginning of married life, one is turning toward building up one's career, one's home, one's family. That's appropriate at a certain stage. And at a later stage, it's appropriate to move on. All right, we've done that part. Just as we move on, we've finished kindergarten, we go on to grade school. We finish grade school, we go on to college. We finish college, we go on to graduate school or to our career. We don't stay at 32 years old and still in kindergarten or still in high school. One has to move on. What was all right for the young boy is not suitable for the older boy or the old man. So one has to move on from household life. Svakat padato va. Either by wakening up himself and saying, okay, it's time to go, or by hearing from Vidura or other devotees that now enough is enough, time to get out. Svakat padato va. Either way, by like when you have to go to work, either you wake up yourself or somebody wakes you up, but either way, you have to get up and go. So similarly, when it's time to wind up householder life, either one by his own spontaneous awakening or by hearing from others, at least after being hearing, like when the alarm clock rings, oh, maybe for a few moments we don't know what's going on, we find, all right, it's the alarm clock, I have to go. So, padato va, hearing from others, jata nirveda, one should become indifferent to material life. And, all right, it may go this way. Now I'm very much concerned, how is the business going? What's the bottom line? What's happening with this worker? What's happening with that worker? What's happening with this negotiation? What's happening with that? Certain point, nirveda, whatever. World went on without me before I came. The world will go on without me after I'm gone. Everything will continue. So one becomes nirveda, indifferent. Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. He becomes indifferent to whatever it may be. Atmavan. He becomes situated in self-realization. Hridikritva harim. And places Krishna within his heart. Or having been taken by Krishna within his heart. That Krishna is there within his heart and Krishna is now taking him. Krishna means one who takes away. Hari means one who takes away. So Hari, if one is willing, he'll take us away from this material entanglement. Hridi kritva harim. Yes. Gehad. Pravrajate, leaves home. Pravrajayate means he goes away. Gaya. The home is described by... Yeah, answer it or don't answer it. Geha. The Geha has been described by Prahlad Maharaj as being like the home of the silkworm, where the silkworm wraps himself up, and then the silk merchant comes and captures him and throws him in boiling oil or whatever it is. And he can't get out because he's wrapped himself up like a mummy. So people, they mummify themselves in household or life. They wrap themselves up so tightly. No, I can't leave. I haven't paid off my house. No, I can't leave because of this. I can't leave because of that. There's so many, and they're in their old age. I can't leave because, but finally death comes and says, whatever you may think, but you're leaving. And then he's forced to leave. Or he wants to leave, but now it's too late because he's old and feeble and he can't, he's dependent. Now it's too late. So timely, Pravrajayate, one should leave home for, again, the same thing, devotional service. In the beginning, brahmacharya life, devotional service. In the middle, householder life, devotional service. And in the end, renounced life, retired life, then renounced life, all devotional service. In this way, one becomes Narottama, or the first-class human being. The modern education produces third-class or tenth-class human beings. But the spiritual line of training trains one to be first-class by dedication to the service of the Lord. Okay, any questions?
The renounce order of life, you said like after 50 years we need to retire, but at this time of Kali Yuga, is it really possible?
Absolutely. Definitely. Renounce first comes retired life, vanaprastha, then Prabhupada is the example. He had his family, he had so many children, he had his business, but what would, like about 52? He 54, he retired. Was already, practically before then, he was already engaged in so many activities, Gaudiya Math, preaching, helping the institution. But then he began going to Chansi and doing things. Finally, he just left home and went to Vrindavan. What was the difficulty? It's difficult. Prabhupada said it was difficult. It's not easy. One has so much, one thinks, oh, it's horrible, how could I leave home? But he did. So he's the example that it's Kali Yuga, still he left. Why is it not possible? Rather, Kali Yuga, the tendency is just remain degraded. To remain at home until the end means degradation. So Kali Yuga is conducive to degradation. I was mentioning the other day that I was told that to become a dentist, by the time you finish dental school, you're $250,000 in debt. So you're already, by the end of school, you're completely locked in. And still, at the end, he's still locked in. He's 60, 70, still he's locked in so many ways. But that's not human life. One should plan, or they're so foolish that they reach the end of their householder life by the death of their wife or by divorce, or, and they start over again. They're 40, they're 50, they're 60, they're 80, and again getting married, again pursuing a happy life of family affection. By nature's way, he was already practically, everything was being cut, but he takes all the pieces of his chains and puts them back together again. And somebody says, and they're being encouraged by their relatives, you know, you're lonely. You need a partner. You're 60, you're all by yourself. Because that's all they know. As life just means being with family, being with friends, being in secure and home. But so they're being misdirected. That's their education. They have kamo pabhoga parama etavaditi nishchita. Just to gratify your senses and be happy is the goal of life. There's nothing more than that. So naturally they stick to it till the end. But a person who's enlightened by Krishna consciousness, he's planning that I'm going to do this for a certain amount of time, and then I'm going to be, if you don't plan, there's a saying in the world of motivational seminars that failing to plan is planning to fail. So he doesn't make any plan. His plan, sort of unstated, unfocused plan, is just to keep going. Remain in the status quo. But the Vedic plan is, I'll do this for a certain amount of time, then I get out. So if one plans that way, then certainly it's possible. And especially if one has been trained from the beginning. Otherwise, all right, better late than never. Get the idea. Why is it not possible? Rather, they make their lives so miserable. I mean, that's like freedom. Retirement means freedom. Renounced life means freedom. But is freedom possible in Kali Yuga? No, you have to remain in jail for your whole life and suffer. No, why? Because they want to. By bewilderment, they think, no, jail is secure. Just like there are these prisoners who become so accustomed to prison life that they can't live outside. And if somehow they're released, they make sure they get back in as soon as possible because they don't know how to function outside of the prison. In prison, you know, everything's regulated. They bring you your food. You know where you're going to sleep at night. Everything's predictable and secure. So they don't want to leave the prison. The materialistic householders are like that. They have their prison, and they know that they open the bars at 9 o'clock, and I drive to work, and then they close the bars at 5 o'clock, and you know, there's a routine. They bring me my food and all of that. And he doesn't want to leave. Freedom is like frightening to him. What will I do? Where will I go? Let's say, prisoners, what will I do? Where will I go? How will I live? Everything is there for him, but freedom is terrifying. He's afraid, how will I live? But the Krishna conscious person, no, Krishna is there in my heart. Krishna will maintain me. Krishna will protect me. I have no difficulty. Material nature is arranged in such a way. So he doesn't, not an anxiety, how will I live? Then Krishna will take care of that. He's taking care of all the other creatures, why not me? The birds don't say, it's Kali Yuga, I'd better get a job. Mm-hmm. Krishna's maintaining them. Perfectly possible in Kali Yuga, if we want to. That's all. Just the desire is not there. The training is not there. So we're thinking, no, let me stay in householder life till the
fag end till I'm kicked out, dragged out. Voluntarily, one should go.
Maharaj, today's Ekadasi. Can you explain us the significance of Ekadasi in fasting?
Ekadasi means opportunity for thinking of Krishna more, chanting Hare Krishna more, being less engaged in material necessities, and more engaged for hearing and chanting. That's Ekadasi.
Why we don't eat grains? Why we don't eat grains and dinner?
Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us not to eat grains. Little austerity. Actually, Ekadasi means no eating, no, not simply hearing and chanting. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least no grains. That's not very difficult. Again, simplify, reduce the bodily necessities. The real purpose is not just to avoid grains. That's just a small thing. That means some, every, practically the Catholics, they don't eat fish on Friday. The Muslims, they observe Ramadan. So there's some system for austerity, for decreasing the, resisting the bodily demands, reducing the bodily demands, and increasing God consciousness. That's the purpose. All of these, the particulars, the formalities, that's there. But the purpose is how to become detached from matter and attached to Krishna. Hearing, chanting. That's the thing. The materialists, they're interested, if they follow Ekadasi, they hope that they'll get material improvement. They'll, in their next life, they'll have a good voice, or they'll have prosperity, or whatever. They're totally misusing everything. Every occasion for God consciousness is an occasion for material enjoyment. So there's Ramadan sales, and there's Christmas clearances, and there's, you know, everything becomes an opportunity for material increase. But those who are serious use these occasions for increasing their love and devotion for God, for Krishna. That's the purpose. Something else?
I heard, like, you know, if, I mean, fasting, I mean, so if you're fasting, I mean, the body may not be perfect because, like, you know, it might be weak, so how can one concentrate on God when you're, like, you know, fasting? You know? So,
you find out,
regulate your senses, or how
you find out pretty quickly that you're not as weak as you thought. You know, that, oh, how could I go for one day without food?
Because your mind will be thinking.
And the mind says, oh. But once you decided to do it, then you find that, all right, body goes on. I didn't perish. Not that if I don't eat, everything will fall apart. At first, the senses are crying, I want this, I want that. How can I go on without this? How do you expect me to go on without that? And then after some time, the senses see that this guy is determined. He's not going to feed me. All right. Then the mind becomes steady. Prabhupada gave that as a hint, that if you're up in the air, then the mind is going this way and that way. But once you've fixed on something, then the mind becomes controlled. If you're thinking that maybe I'll fast today, let's see how it goes. Maybe, you know, well, I'll see how it, I'll fast till 12 and then see if I'm hungry. And then if I'm not so hungry, I'll go till 2. And then maybe, you know, then you're always monitoring. Your mind is always saying, well, no. But once you've decided that I'm going to fast till noon, or I'm going to fast till evening, or I'm going to fast till midnight or whatever it is, then the mind knows that it's no use trying to open a discussion here. The matter's already been settled. So then the mind can be, is now it's clear. The mind can be, is free now for chanting Hare Krishna. And even, all right, we experience some bodily inconvenience, we feel a little weak, or we feel a little whatever it is. But that, you also start to feel like it's not me. By fasting, one starts to get the sense that this thing that I'm in is not me. That sense of being a separate entity is enhanced. It's enhanced. Therefore, fasting is in different in Krishna consciousness, many different cultures. Fasting is there. It increases that sense that I'm not this body. And if I'm not this body, then I can go on. Mm-hmm. Not terrible fasting. Vihitam kauram tapyante ye tapojana tampaha hankara samyukta kamaraga balambita. That karshyanta shuriras tam. Tam vidyasra nishtrayan. The demons undergo severe austerity, torturing the body, you know, putting hooks in themselves and doing all sorts of things that are not recommended in Shastra. Out of pride and false prestige and material desire, Hiranyakashipu, that kind of austerity doesn't help. But austerity, according to Shastra, for the sake of advancement in Krishna consciousness, is good for us. Anything else?
For the soul, I mean, why the soul is referred as he? I mean, because on the spiritual platform.
Even while I'm thinking of it, generally in material life, we're accustomed to over catering to the body. We eat too much. We're always being encouraged to eat something tasty, something special, something this. We're thinking about what's to eat. Even from a medical point of view, we're overloading the body. People, what's some crazy statistics about how many people in America are obese?
And another thing is that Virginia is the second obese state in America.
So here we are, the state with the second most fat population in America. And in America, they're all the states are too, people are too fat. And even a person who's not fat, but still he's eating more than his thin body can take. So it's healthy also. Kind of a vacation for the system. But that's not the real purpose. The real purpose is, you know, he's thinking that this is materially, like this is what are you doing to yourself, but actually it's most cases, okay, if a person who's sick shouldn't fast if he's, you know, too weak. But in most cases, it's good. Put your system on vacation for a day and you'll benefit. So Prabhupada, two compulsory fasting days a week. A month, and the population will become healthier, and you save money too. And time can be saved instead of having to cook very elaborately and very, you know, just either skip the whole thing or something just simple. And then you're done, and then that extra time is invested for hearing and chanting. So it's like, you know, where is the time? I have no time. Householder life, there's no time. In family life, where is the time? Here's a time saver. You just skipped breakfast, you added an hour to your life. You skipped lunch, you added another hour. So there's times and cooking time and everything else. So that's time saved. Along with lunch is all the social talk and the, you know, the whole, all the rituals. So that time was all just saved and can be used for hearing and chanting. So even if I have no time, at least 2 days a week, 2 days a month, I have more time. I can read Srimad Bhagavatam, I can chant Hare Krishna. Or it's not usually a no time problem. The time problem usually is I don't know how to use my time. So at least then these 2 days, the reminder is there that, okay, I can, at least these days, I can hear, chant. And then that encourages him that, well, if I did it yesterday, I can do it tomorrow also. I did it yesterday, I can do it today, or I did it 2 days ago, I can. So it keeps things moving in the right direction. Without austerity, one becomes dull. Austerity increases determination, increases strength, which are meant for investment in devotional service. Anything else?
In the purport when you were reading that if I'm not making a mistake beginning with that, if we are not seeing Krishna in our heart, then we would not get the direction from Krishna.
I don't think it said that.
Let's see what
that was about. It's not that. It's positive. A sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. So the opposite is also true, that if one doesn't see the personality of Godhead in one's heart and doesn't hear and chant, then he just remains in default mode, hanging on in householder life day after day. But the person who realizes, who awakens to God consciousness by hearing and chanting, that's what Prabhupada says, leaves home depending on Krishna. He's, by hearing and chanting, he's got the idea, all right, Krishna is there. He develops that confidence, that determination, that detachment, so he can leave. Depending on, all right, Krishna is there. Why do I don't need my insurance company, I don't need my wife to be there to make sure that I get dinner on time, I don't need, you know, the dog to bark at strangers, and, you know, whatever it is. I don't need to even know where I'm going to be from day to day. I just need to depend on Krishna, and Krishna will do the needful. And Prabhupada, I can go to America, I can go any place. Even in my old age, I can go anywhere, and Krishna is there. That Bhakti Charamarsh tells that story that he once said to Srila Prabhupada, that I wish I could have been with you in America when you were all alone and no one was with you. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. And my Guru Maharaj was always with me. So that realization that Krishna is always with me, my spiritual master is always with me, I can go anywhere and depend on Krishna. Modern civilization has created false dependencies. Everything's dependent on your education, it's dependent on your insurance policy, it's dependent on, you know, having a good job, it's dependent on the homeland security, it's dependent, you know, everything's dependent. Dependent on your bank, dependent on your... But Krishna consciousness means that none of these people are... my country is not dependable, my bank is not dependable, My family even is not dependable. My body is not dependable. And Krishna is dependable, that's all. Let me depend on Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Time to time we see appeal, where I'm saying, like, but my time to time we see that life is actually completely, extremely dependent on Krishna.
Mm.
And even existence, even breathing, everything is, I'm saying that I see that I'm extremely dependent on Krishna. Means in the existence, in the moment by moment, whatever is there, anyone, Krishna. So sometimes I feel, is it normal or is it normal, natural?
That's normal.
That way?
That's real normal. That's actually normal. Forgetting Krishna is abnormal. To think that everything, even for my breath, I depend on Krishna, for nothing, the blood won't run through the veins without Krishna, strength won't be in the muscles without Krishna, nothing will be there without Krishna. That's real consciousness. And just to go on and as if everything were working automatically, that's Maya. That's good.
For something, I have to take some decision. But I feel, sometimes I feel extreme dependence on Krishna, and now how can I take the decision?
Sometimes we take advice from devotees. I was just reading that sometimes when Tamal Krishna Maharaj had some important decision, he would consult other devotees and get their direction, because he was taking it that the devotees are Krishna's representatives. So we take the direction from the devotees and then we will know how to act. Or sometimes we'll say, all right, let me just depend on Krishna and decide. Whatever decision, I'll just depend on Krishna.
In that respect, we know that Arjuna was advised by Krishna directly. And particularly now, the situation that we want to follow Krishna's order, but some of the decision they have to take, how do we know that Krishna wants that to be?
Therefore, Shastra is there, Guru is there, devotees are there, sadhus. In that way. We see from Shastra that I shouldn't do this, I should do that. We're directed, we inquire from the spiritual master, what should I do? Or from the devotees. And Krishna is also within the heart. We look for direction from within. But these are reliable. Shastra especially. Guru. Sadhu. Something else.
Which chapter?
That chapter. Thirteen.
Chapter 30 and verse number.
27. 1:13:27. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna.